This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. Sarah Simpson wasn't too interested in history or even her own ancestry until just a few years ago when she inherited a box of her grandmother's diaries. The entries painted a picture of her grandmother as a woman who had doubts and angst about her faith. They helped Sarah see a more complex view of a woman she thought she knew well. They also inspired her to create a project called Parallel Entries. The website collects diary excerpts written by different people on the same date across the years. Sarah Simpson is also a licensed counselor with a private practice in Asheville, and she joins me in the studio today. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. Always nice to check off those life goals.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to The State of Things. So tell me a bit about your grandmother and how you came across her diaries for the first time.
Well, she was kind of your classic meek, soft-spoken, sweet grandmother, and wrote us, as in our her grandchildren, letters all the time, and was very into religion and God, and made that very clear in most of her communications with us. She died in 2013, and I got this box of her diaries from my aunt and uncle, who had taken them in because they're archivists, and it just made sense. I think that they're the ones who took care of them, and they put them in the nice Hollinger boxes. And my Aunt Drusie asked me in November of 2016 if I wanted to take a box of those diaries home. And I was like, absolutely, yes, please, give me that now. I've always been fascinated by diaries. So
what stood out to you when you started looking through them?
Oh, man, so much. I mean, just the artifact itself was profound to hold, to see her handwriting, to know that this was the actual paper she wrote on as a young person, to see what her life was like when she was 20. I mean, that's when I first started reading. She was 20, you know? I mean, a young woman in college and before ever having the five children that she had or marrying the man she married. But she was immediately writing about her doubt, her religious doubt, her spiritual doubt, which I never knew she even had. I thought she was good to go on that front. So that was stunning right off the bat to see that. And then just to get a glimpse into her thoughts and emotions in a way that you never do with people.
Well, let's hear some of those from when she was 20 years old. Will you read an excerpt of one of her diaries for us?
Sure. Yeah. This is from July 26th, 1944. And it's a little different from the usual. She does write in detail about her day-to-day life, and then she'll also talk about her internal experience. So this is more of an internal experience one. As I was reading my diary tonight, 2, 3, 4 years back, I realized anew how far I have come. Other summers, even last summer, I used to get out my diary and read about the beautiful past and moon over the fun we used to have and regret growing up. I was as bad as an old grandmother, living more in the past than in the present, and thoroughly convinced that the future had nothing so delightful in store as the good old days. Now it's so different. It's fun to look back and remember, but the memories aren't sad anymore. The past is all a part of the present, and so is the future. But I feel now that the best is yet to come. Living over the past was just a part of retreating into myself because I was not a successful person in reality. It made me realize just how great a change has taken place.
That was Sarah Simpson reading an entry from her grandmother's diary from July 26, 1944. Sarah is the curator and editor of Parallel Entries, a website that brings together journal and diary entries from people from different eras and different places. So you dug into your grandmother's diaries, and then you started to think about how it may compare to diaries that you'd been keeping yourself. Tell me mm-hmm. about deciding to look at the two in conversation with each other.
Yeah, I think like most ideas, it just kind of popped into my head. I wasn't thinking about it actively, but I had all these diaries myself and was inspired to go back and organize them and get the special acid-free boxes for them and number them and, you know, geek out in that way. And it just occurred to me that it would be really interesting to see what I was writing about and how I was writing at 20 compared to how she was doing it at 20, because it just so happened to be reading her diaries from that age. So I went to my 2003 diary and just decided to give it some kind of structure, that I would only choose the entries that we wrote on the same date. And whatever date we wrote on the same day, I would type those up and put them in the same document next to each other. And I called it parallel entries. And then decided I can apply this to the whole world.
So what stood out to you when you looked at juxtaposed entries of you and your grandmother?
Well, we were very similar in our fascination with our internal life. Very different as far as what we were actually doing on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with the time in which we were growing up and the way we were raised. And, you know, she was very religious and going to church every Sunday with her friends, and I was not doing that at all. I was more into the party mode at that time, and I was hanging out with a lot of guys, and all her friends were girls, and I was more mature on some level in that way, and yet she was more mature in other ways, in that she wasn't doing things too soon, and yeah.
Can we hear an excerpt from your diary at 20?
Sure, yeah. Who doesn't want to read their diary?
on the radio, yeah, of course.
It's a normal thing to do. So this is from October, and I chose this because, like her, I'm also writing about writing and about reading over journal entries and that whole kind of circular process.
In October 2002, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I need to step away from the fiction realm and stop trying to change myself into something that I'm not, and the people that I love into other people, people who would make sense to my audience. I need to step away from the audience and pull the velvet curtain around myself so they can't see what I write and wonder what it is. Why is it here? It's here because I am here. So I should not quit writing. I should quit trying to deny myself of myself. I'm the only one who can give me me. I should learn about my world through my perceptions and then read back on them in case I forget, or perhaps never read back on them at all. I suppose there are many routes I could take in this artistic dilemma of mine, but the first thing I must do is buy a new notebook. This paper is my mind.
That was Sarah Simpson reading an entry from her own journal when she was 20 years old. Sarah is the curator and editor of Parallel Entries, a website that brings together journal and diary entries from people from different eras and different places. So you looked at your entries as compared to your grandmother's entries, and then you decided, what if I broaden this out to a bigger project? Tell me about the Parallel Entries project.
Yeah, so like you say, it's a website, www.parallelentries.net. If you were to visit it today, you would see entries from August 1st, from various years, various people of different ages. If you visit it tomorrow, the homepage will display August 2nd entries. And I just had this flash of an idea and was telling people about it, and they all loved it and said I should do it. And I went to various archives in the libraries in Asheville where I live and found different digitized diaries online, and I have been typing those up, or luckily some of them are already typed up, and I put them up there every night. I refresh the site and it's ready to go for the next day. The idea is that people will submit to the site, though. It's very easy to do, and it can be anonymous or not. But my hope is that people will send me things that they wrote, or entries from diaries they've inherited. I know a lot of diaries just get destroyed or lost, and I think that's a real shame. I think these are holy documents, even. They're kind of Bibles that we can learn from and feel more connected to each other through. So that's the hope.
Do you think your grandmother would want her diary to be used in this way, to be public?
Right. Who knows? That is the million-dollar question. I think that because she kept them her whole life, that speaks to a desire for them to be read. And I think if she knew how much I revere them and love them and have come to love her in a way that I never could have loved her in life, I think that she would approve. And I think that most people who keep a diary, they're partly doing it for posterity. They want someone to read this when they're gone.
It's funny because upon hearing you say that, I feel like I need to run home and burn all of my diaries because I don't want anyone reading them. For me, it's very much a cathartic process of, you know, being able to say all the things that I wouldn't say out loud and wouldn't actually want anyone to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a part of that that comes across when you talk to people about this work? Is
Absolutely.
That an element? Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's where the line between diary and journal comes in, because diaries are not as personal as journals, and that's where we work out all of our emotional stuff, and it can be embarrassing to look back on. But just looking back on one's day, you know, what they did that day and the people they interacted with and the activities and everything, I think is less fraught for people. And that's a lot of what my grandmother's diaries are, and that's just as fascinating to me, if not more so, than the internal stuff. I mean, it's like time travel, the detail in which she writes. You're there. You're in 1941. It's incredible.
When you look back over time, do you see any historical trends in how people approach this? I can imagine in the days before social media, when you don't have other ways of documenting details of your day, it becomes much more important to write down, you know, at 11:08, I ate an egg salad sandwich for lunch, whatever it is. And now I can take a quick photo of that, and my journal is more for other thoughts and feelings. I wonder if you've noticed anything.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think I haven't scratched the surface of all the diaries there are to read, but I do think the farther back in time you go, the more kind of mundane and dry the diaries get. People are just, as my dad would say, reporting the news of their day. And it's very just bulleted, kind of dry facts, as opposed to the more recent, it does get more internal and exploratory.
Have you noticed anything in terms of differences from people of different genders or different backgrounds and how they approach the craft?
Well, I mean, it sounds stereotypical, but I think the men diarists that I've read are more just surface level reporting the news, and the women tend to go deeper. Yeah.
So I know that you are a therapist. You work with people, and journaling has been one of many tools that you've used in your practice. Can you tell me about the therapeutic benefits of journaling and how journaling is used as a tool in that world?
Yeah. The benefits are numerous. I mean, catharsis alone is a huge help for people, just to be able to get thoughts and feelings out of your head where they just can be so loud. So that alone is really helpful. I like to use the journal ladder with people. It's a way of giving more structure to their writing. I can send them home with little assignments, starting small and time limited, giving it more containment. A lot of people just say they don't know what they would write, so it's good to have prompts that the journal ladder provides. I mean, studies have shown that expressive writing improves immune function because it reduces stress immediately after writing. You know, heart rate and blood pressure have been shown to drop while people write. Like, the sweat on their palms reduces. I mean, the benefits can be immediate. People heal from actual physical wounds faster if they're writing about emotions, or what James Pennebaker calls expressive writing. He did a huge study, a series of studies in the 80s that showed people who wrote about traumatic events, as opposed to people who wrote about just everyday mundane stuff, went to their doctors 40% less, you know, than the control groups did.
The studies show that, yeah, in addition to the content of what you write about, it also seems to matter how exactly you're writing about that experience. So as opposed to free writing and just detailing every detail of a trauma, writing in a way where you're actually trying to do some meaning making from this event is what can be therapeutic. It can actually maybe even be damaging to just do the bulleted list of trauma. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. And people can just end up reliving it if they do that. And I mean, in Pennebaker's study, he at least put a time limit on it. He told them to write it, just like let it flow. But he said stop after 15 minutes, and he had them do that 4 times. So there was some repetition to it, and a way to approach it from different angles. But yeah, with the journal ladder, it's really great because it does provide opportunity for that meaning making. You know, you can write a dialogue between yourself and a person from your past, or between yourself and another part of yourself, or your wise part, your child part, your future self a year from now. There's really no end of ways to explore the psyche through writing.
When we think about journals and diaries being an important historical document, I wonder whether you think it necessitates some kind of regularity in the journal or writing. I think about, you know, my own, it may not give you an accurate portrayal of my life because it's the highs and the extreme lows. I don't write on an average Wednesday. Is there anything to be said about the frequency with which someone writes and its potential for being historically relevant?
That's an interesting question. I mean, my grandmother wrote pretty much every day for years, and that's what's so fascinating, because you do get to see the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, everything. I mean, you just get this complete picture of a person. So I guess, I mean, it's all historically relevant. It's just a different experience for the reader, you know,
I only have about 30 seconds left, but I wonder what you have learned about your younger self from going back and revisiting these diaries, and if there's anything you wish you could tell her.
Oh, man. I've learned that I was a really good kid who was trying to grow up too fast. And if I could go back, I would tell her that you don't need to do that yet. You can wait, and you'll be better off for it. You'll be glad, but, you know, can't tell people anything.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today to tell us about your project. Sarah Simpson is the curator and editor of Parallel Entries. She's also a licensed counselor with a practice in Asheville. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Parallel Entries at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is the technical director, with Al Widarski filling in today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.